Tonight I'm going to be doing my study on Mary, the mother of Jesus, and how she had her peace was so elevated, like to be able to carry and birth this heavy assignment. Like, it's just crazy. Like, and I heard this be preached and taught the, you know, around Christmas time. But when I began to dig and glean from that, like, I got so excited, and I just could have go on and on and on and on, but I won't. Let me just slow down and, okay. Listen to this. Fear is one of the seven emotions experienced by everyone in the world. Fear arises with the threat of harm, either physical, emotional, or psychological, real or imagined. Anxiety and fear is the activation of the fight or flight system. In Luke 1:6-38, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And you can see how God was reaffirming their relationship. He was establishing and proclaiming the importance of the relationship and what she means to him. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and consider what manner of greeting was this. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will not come to an end." With all that affirming, reaffirming, and proclaiming, anxiety still found his way in and brought fear with him. And their purpose was to trigger that system to activate, causing Mary to fight, and not so much physically, but mentally. God said not so, and immediately he said, "Do not be afraid, Mary. Remember, you found favor with God," prompting that system to shut down right away. The Amen. Weightiness of the purpose in which Mary was about to carry in birth required her to be in a perpetual, never-ending, or changing state of propitiation. Mary had to be so plugged into her faith in God. I believe God imparted her faith with supernatural maturation in order to experience the supernatural grace of peace. If not, Mary would have taken flight and aborted the assignment. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. There also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and she's in her sixth month, for her who is called was called barren. For with God, nothing is impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word." And the angel departed. And I'm just going to paraphrase and just set up the little scenario. Imagine you being engaged to a man. You're a virgin, and your friends and family know, and you end up pregnant. And you try to explain this to him. And then you have to deal with, his family was probably hostile towards her because she's pregnant. They think she's crazy because it seems impossible. But we can relate this to us. When God give us our assignment, whatever it is we are to carry out in the earth, I don't care how ridiculous or how preposterous it seems, nothing is impossible to God. And we have to look at Mary had such a relationship. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says the people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And in order to know your God, you must eat of his rhema, meals and snacks included, to become strong to carry out these bold and daring feats, to execute that kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So I said all of that to say this: get in that, get secured, get your relationship built, eat the rhema, eat the fragments that come along with it. Don't be discouraged. And Mary's peace was so intact, she pondered it in herself, because sometimes when we don't understand something, we let our emotions control us. We go to this person, what this mean? What that mean? What this mean? We panicking. But Mary's peace was so perfected, she pondered it in herself to carry out. And God, look at him in all his awesomeness. He didn't let her be alone in this journey. He had somebody else that was carrying the same type of miracle she was. So we have to get with somebody, not just shut our mouth sometime. And then when we find the person that has what we're carrying together, God can help bring that forth. But imagine if she would have panicked and let her emotions get the best of her, she would have aborted this assignment. Mm-hmm. And in conclusion to that, whatever God asks you to do, do as Mary said, behold, the servant of the Lord, be it according to your word, and that's you shall bring forth and deliver.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's good. That's real.
Amen. Amen.
It's real. Man, I tell you.
That is so good.
That was really, really good. Erica, yeah, you went fast again. It's okay. You think you went slow, but you did go fast. But I always get what you're coming from. And I love what you pointed out, the magnitude of this assignment. She needed the word, and she had to stay in the word to fulfill this, to stay elevated. And I see it plainly, especially when you read verse 38 again. Behold that the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. She connected right into there and finished her assignment because she heard, what he said and what was said. And that is really, really, really powerful. And how important it is. Man, I taught something on this. God really, really showed me something on this where Mary stayed right in it. She did not leave the word. And that's why she was able to do what she did and end up birthing the miracle ministry of Jesus. And because she did not leave, she kept looking to the word. She kept remembering different things that were said along the way. She did not lose the things. And she kept, the Bible says on so many, like a few occasions, Mary kept those things in her heart.
Yes.
Those things that were said. So excellent, Erica. Erica, that's good. That's good. And because she kept it, she stayed elevated to give birth to the Son of the Living God. That listen, I'm in this phase right now that every Bible account is blowing my mind.
Yeah.
I was talking to prophetess this morning about a donkey that turned and spoke to Balaam. I said, how would you have reacted if a donkey turned to you and opened his mouth and spoke to you in English, telling you, you know, you're going the wrong way? And so, no, but this account with Mary birthing the Son of God.
Yes.
No small feat.
Mm-hmm.
That's good and stuff. The only thing that carried her was the fact that she stayed in that word.
Amen.
She held on to that word. Most women would have been come on now, women on the line. How in the world do you feel if you got pregnant and you weren't with a man?
Yeah, that's true.
How are you going to handle that? I mean, mentally, how do you handle that?
Yeah.
It's no, that's no small feat right there.
No, it's not.
Mary Hamlet, she kept the word. She stayed in the word that was spoken unto her. Yes. And that's how.
Amen.
She was elevated. Excellent, Erica.
Amen.
Excellent.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
And Apostle, it just blew my mind, especially when she started to be troubled a little bit. He came in immediately and shut that down.
Shut it down.
Shut that system down.
That's good.
Amen.
That's so good. Oh, amen. Yeah. Good job. I give you snap. I give you snap.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen.
Excellent.
Amen.
Excellent. Boy, oh boy. Okay, but she went so fast that I got it. My mind keeps going back, but I'm going to.
Lord, wow, I thought I was going slow.
I know you thought, but my wife has a saying, you thought, but you weren't thinking. But it's still always good coming out your mouth, Erica. I always enjoy this stuff. I really do. Amen. Cap, I'm going to call you to the to the front. Now, how many studies you got? You got three or four?
Nah, I got one because he was giving me so much and I couldn't get to the other ones that I wanted to do. But anyway.
Next week.
Amen. Next week, Cap. We'll roll on. If other studies come up, we're gonna go with Javon next week anyway. And I'm excited about what Javon's gonna bring. But yeah, if any other studies come up, we can add them into next week. Cause again, I'm not in a rush on this, but Cap, bring to the forefront, man. I know you got some stuff. I got my fork, my knife, my napkin, and my spoon out.
Amen.
Can you see my screen?
Yes, we can.
All right. Okay, so my case study, as you can see, is on Jonah.
Wow.
Okay. Jonah in elevated peace. And it was kind of, awesome the way God showed it to me. So I'm going to start off with the definition that we've been in for some time now in peace. We know that is to join. But two other definitions that are going to be relevant here are security and safety. So when we're in the rhema word and we're eating our fragments, there's always security. There's always safety. Okay. Amen. So now starting off with Jonah, this part of it is Jonah falls, but he's still in peace. So it says here, starting in verse 1 through 2, actually it should be just 1 through 5, but it says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. First thing I want to point out here is that Jonah obviously was not staying in the fragments of what God said. He obviously started eating of the enemy. It says that the word came to him, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. And then immediately, Jonah went the other way.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Yes.
We learned. I'm warning you, I'm mixing in some old story in with this tonight.
Go ahead.
So we learned that we learned in a message a long time ago, around the beginning, about that message the apostle taught called the fight. That immediately when the word comes, the enemy comes to try to steal the word.
Amen.
So obviously the enemy was stealing the word from him, giving him, mixing some lie in with truth. And Jonah ate it because he went the other way. Okay? So keep that in mind. So verse 4 says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God and cast forth the wares. Those were like tools and instruments that they had on the boat so that it can be lightened of them. It says, but Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Keep in mind, it says in verse 4 that the Lord sent out a great wind to the sea.
Wow.
And there was a mighty tempest. That word tempest.
Boy, oh boy.
Reminds me of Jesus
going to sleep.
After
yes,
sir. He said, let us go to the other side.
Yes. Oh, man. Oh, man.
Right.
Okay. So, so here it is. Everybody, it says here, they were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth where. So everybody's calling to their God and nothing has happened. But Jonah, instead of him calling on God, because he know he yeah. didn't get away. So he goes down into the side of the ship and lay and was fast asleep. Now that word size means he's in the flank area or in a recess. So he's hiding.
Oh, my goodness.
Jonah is trying to hide from what he knows he's the cause of.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Okay. So it says also that Jonah was fast asleep. He was so asleep. That word fast asleep means to be unconscious.
Wow.
To fall into a heavy sleep. What kind of peace do you have to be in to know that as a prophet of the Most High God, you're going the opposite direction? It's a Category 5 hurricane, tempest storm out on the water, and you go to sleep.
My goodness.
So he was kind of showing me this. Like, I'm like, how is it that he could be in that kind of peace?
Yeah.
And he's not in the fragments. He's eating leaven. And so what God showed me was that because of who he was chosen to be, a prophet of the Most High God.
Say it, Kurt. Say it now.
He can try to leave the word, but the word didn't leave him.
That's right.
So the word was still present, providing security and safety.
Oh, wow. Man.
Wow.
Lord, have mercy.
The word has it. Even if you don't know it, even if you ain't trying to get it, it's still there.
Jesus.
Wow. Okay?
So he was showing me that the word that he was given was to go to Nineveh. So even though he was running the opposite way, he still was indirectly meditating or staying in the word because he was focused on not going where God told him to go. He was focused on not doing what God said, indirectly, in the opposite. But it's still on his mind. It's still there.
Still in.
Kind of like how Jeremiah used the term, his word was like fire shut up in my bones.
Yeah.
So it's not going anywhere. You have to do it. Okay. And the rhema, we know, expiates our sin. So even though he was in disobedience, not doing what the word is still expiating his sin. Still, still keeping him clean.
Oh my God.
Cured. Still keeping him safe. Okay. And we know that when God says something, that's what it is. He didn't change his mind. And his word did not return unto him.
Come on now.
But it will accomplish what he sent it to
do.
Just like Jeremiah, it was like fire shut up in his bones.
That's so good.
Okay. So now, how do we know that he was eating leaven? Well, it comes out of his mouth in verse 7 through 10. It says, so they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. What? I fear the Lord. And you in direct disobedience? You going the opposite way, but you in fear of the Lord?
Mercy,
God, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said unto him, what hast thou done this? Or why hast thou done this? For the men knew he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he told them. Okay, so here it is. He's not speaking truth because he's not in fear right now. 11. So now, going forward.
At 11.
His elevated piece. Okay? Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was wrought, and it was tempestuous, raging. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you.
Wow. My goodness. My
goodness. What kind of peace do you have to be in? You not only
throw me over the side of the boat.
Man. Throw me over the board. Into the deep. Because this ain't because of you. This is because of me. So he already knew that because they cast lots and all this, he could not hide. So he already knew that the Lord was exposing him.
Wow.
Okay. But he still, because he knew that he, because of who he was chosen to be, he had to do it. So the security and the safety was still there because he still had to do what God told him to do.
Yes. Wow. Oh my gosh. Yes.
Elevated
me. That's good.
Cast me into the sea where there's. What kind of peace? You know that you get tossed overboard and the sea, the storm, and everything's going to go away. So, verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land. So they're trying to go against it. They didn't do it right away. Okay? For the sea was wrought and tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life and lay not upon us in this innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, has done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Okay? So Jonah's peace extended to the sea.
What's great.
He got peace now. Okay? Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows.
Look at now, that.
The Lord had prepared a fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Going back to old story, we learned back then that the number three means resurrection. Number three means resurrection. We've been told to stay in the rainbow, you gather fragments three times a day, right? Resurrection, a standing up again. That's what that means, because Jonah had fallen. He needed to be brought up right again, okay? So
come on now.
This is something that he had to go through. You know, he, although he had peace in his rebellion, he still is not functioning as the prophet God called him. He's not speaking. He's not doing what God told him to do. So he was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights to be resurrected. Okay. Now, here's where it comes back, where he prays from his trouble. Okay. I'm not going to read all of it because this is in chapter 2. It says, then Jonah, now he's in the belly of the fish. It's all dark and everything. Now he's starting to lose his, that peace is leaving. Okay? So then he prayed to the Lord, his God, from the stomach of the fish and said, I called out of my trouble and distress to the Lord. And he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried for help. And you heard my voice. Okay? I'm going to come down somewhere. It says, the waters surrounded me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. He's in a bad place. But as you continue to pray, or as he continued to pray, his prayer began to turn to worship. Okay? So he elevating. He starts coming back. He starts rejoining.
That's good.
Because he says, but as for me, I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving.
Amen.
I shall pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is from the Lord. Mm-hmm. So he is in need of deliverance. He is in need of rescue.
Rescue need. Okay?
But if he really understood it, the person that had him was the one that he was running from.
Okay? Yeah.
So he's not quite there yet, but he's on his way back. Okay. Yeah. So then it's once he came to his senses. So the Lord commanded the fish and it vomited Jonah up on the dry land. right away, soon as he got it. Now, this word pay is very interesting. Guess what this word means? Shalom.
No.
Oh my gosh.
To be in a covenant of peace. So Jonah's prayer turns to worship and elevates him back into peace. He says, I will come back to covenant of peace. I will come back to be joined with the Father. I
will come back the Father.
Yes. He made me at peace. Amen. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now he's back in peace and he received his deliverance. Now, going forward, his obedience released what he had. Going in chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. So then the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Shout out to Jay, that word bid means command. Commanded thee, right? So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now he's not rebelling. He's in agreement. He's with him now. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. 3 days' journey. Came out of the belly from being there 3 days and three nights. But God said, I'm not going to lose you this time. You're going to be with me these 3 days on this journey.
Wow.
Hollering at you the whole time.
My goodness, man.
Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, here's where the people came in. They believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. Okay. I'm not going to read all of this. It's in chapter 3, but basically the word came to the king and he said, you know, he and his nobles let no, not just people, but the beasts, nobody's going to eat or drink anything. Okay. And hopefully the Lord will turn back, you know, well, hopefully everybody will turn from their evil way and God won't cause this damage that he planned for us. Right. Verse 10 says, and God saw their works that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them. And he did it not. So we see here, Jonah was delivered from the darkness of the sea when he repented. Now he cried out to Nineveh and they were delivered. He could not provide the deliverance he did not already have. He just got delivered and was able to release it unto the people of Nineveh.
Amen.
Freely
Amen.
As I have, freely I give.
Amen.
And that's my case study for y'all.
Amen.
Wow.
That was a four course meal.
Man, that was beautiful.
Wow.
That was absolutely so beautiful. And it's so funny because I was in this particular account with Prophetess this morning, and we were talking about this particular account and what you did, Kurt, what the way you broke it down and showed it. You showed I saw first and second level peace.
He doesn't want the
Is that Prophetess?
Yes.
I'm like her.
What'd you say, Prophetess?
Nope.
Was that her? I thought that was her talking about this study.
It sounded like her.
I thought it was her. But in essence, we were in this study this morning, and it was really powerful. Not particularly like this, Cap, but we were just amazed at Jonah. But what you showed here, I saw first and second level peace. I saw Jonah like a schizo in and out, needing pity and mercy.
Yes.
Needing pity and mercy. He needed the word again. And God gave him the word again. That was peace coming in the form of pity and mercy.
Amen.
And then we see Jonah elevate into that peace.
Amen.
To where now he could deliver Nineveh. Kurt, that was just,
That was
really good.
Yeah. Man, that was a full course meal.
Man, that was like one of those seven courses, man, where you get that cheese and wine dip a plate at the end of your meal, and that was just, that was awesome.
Amen.
Truly awesome.
Amen.
I love the part that really stuck out to me, that Jonah was asleep in the midst of that storm. And the reason why is because he knew at the time, I know God called me and I know who's causing this problem. But the word about him going to Nineveh was still in him, knowing he ain't come to kill me. He's just trying to get me there.
Yeah.
Exactly. So he still had enough to go to sleep.
He knew he wasn't going to die.
He knew he wasn't going to die. That storm wasn't under his death.
Nope.
Wow.
And the peace still, man, that's so good.
Man.
You know, you only have to think, you have to really think about that. That's how well he knew God.
Yeah.
He knew what God had told him. He knew that his word will not turn back to him void, just like Minister Curtis said. So he knew he had to go, but he was going to do his best not to do that. Man. He even hid in a recessed place and had the audacity to fall asleep there.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that was...
He knew, like you said, Elder, he absolutely knew.
Yes.
In fact, Jonah kept contending after Nineveh gets delivered. Jonah continues to contend.
Yes, he does.
He goes to the beach and he's hot. And so the Lord made a plant grow instantly to give him shade. And then Jonah's still throwing shade. So God curses the gorge and Jonah gets heat stroke and falls out. This boy won't stop contending with God because he knew God so well.
Yes.
It wasn't that Jonah was being he wasn't being rebellious toward God. It was because Nineveh was oppressing Israel.
Yeah. He didn't want
such a
manner. He didn't want them to repent. He wanted them to die.
Right. He wanted them to die.
He wanted them to suffer, right?
Yeah,
he actually told God, "I knew that you were a merciful God."
That's right.
I knew that. That's why I went to Tarshish. Don't you know? That's what I said.
I purposely tried to abort the mission because I wanted them destroyed.
That's right. That's right.
Exactly.
Jay, I gotta be honest with you, bro. I gotta be honest with you, Jay. I see you so much in this story. When I do, Jay, I'm sorry, bro. I see you so much in this story that when you get into your own mindset and you mad with God because God ain't doing this and ain't doing that, the mercy and the back and forthness with you and God is ridiculous. Then he drops a word on you and all of a sudden you're in elevated peace and you going, you soaring, you're blessing us with the word and all this. But then you get back in your fix and you and God are going at it again. And he just, the love and mercy, the love and grace that he has for us, just you, Jay, but for us, is phenomenal.
Amen.
It's phenomenal.
It's so true.
He really is our father, everyone.
Yes, he is.
He acts like the dad, man. He says, I know Joshua. I know Jay, I go through it too. You ain't alone. I go through Jonah. We always say this, Mom. You know, we've been saying this
for years.
I am going to laugh at Jonah and say, why, bro? Why? What were you thinking? But like Cap said, like he said, he was in a place of elevated peace, even in his doggone anger and rebellion and he was still elevated. He's like, I know who sent that. I'm going to sleep. The boy was unconscious. So good. All right.
Good.
Wow. That was so good, man.
Awesome.
Yes, sir. All right, Cap. All right, now. Say that again, Elder.
I said that reminds me of darkness and light. They're both alike unto thee.
They're both alike.
Yes.
Oh, man.
And that's Jonah, so good. That's the truth.
Jonah was in the belly of the fish. You know he was in darkness.
Yes, he was.
Sleep on that pillow. He was in darkness.
Boy.
But the light was down.
And hiding in a recessed place, just like the enemy.
Hiding in a recess.
No. Oh, no.
That means Jonah went and nestled up with Satan.
Yeah, he did.
He said, Satan, move over. I'm sleeping here for a minute.
In darkness.
All right, now that was all right. As Jay would say, that was hot fire.
Yeah,
that was hot fire. Hot fire.
Yes, all right, Elsa, yes. We got about 19 minutes here. I think you got enough time to take us home, blow our minds, and give us confirmation on how we ought to be striving, not like so much like Jonah, but to be in a place of elevated peace. To where we know we can speak that thing and release prosperity, favor, benefits, and services.
All right, just pulling my slides up here. All right.
Boy, oh boy.
Slides up there?
I see them. Elevated.
Amen. My case study is named, as you can see, Philip Elevated. We learned in our Rhema studies that if you eat me, you shall live by the means of me. We learned means defined is his method, the action or system by which a result is brought about, money, financial resources, and wealth. Tonight, we're going to break down Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. And within these verses, we will see proof that Philip eats fragments daily, because within the verses, we're going to see the means of the Lord displayed. We're going to first see hearing, and I say first, because when you're in the means of the Lord, you are certainly going to hear. We will then see means in the form of action, then in the form of method, and also in the system by which a result is brought about. So let's begin now in verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Right off the bat, we see evidence that Philip eats daily fragments, because he hears. Verse 27. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Right here, we see Philip says he arose and went at what he heard. This shows us that he was now in the means of the Lord in the form of action. He acted on what he heard. Verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. What we see here is Philip was now in the method of the Lord. He was instructed to join himself to this chariot. And when I saw the word join, I was like, really? Join thyself. This was the method in which the Lord would join himself to this eunuch, and it would be by way of Philip. All this is evidence that Philip was a fragment gatherer. He was in hearing, then in action in what he heard, and now is in the method of the Lord. But it doesn't stop there. Let's continue. Now we'll go on and see what the eunuch was reading in Isaiah, verse 32. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shear, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? So the eunuch here is wondering if Isaiah was speaking of himself or of somebody else. Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
And I love how this is recorded here, because it specifically references that he began at the same scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is this so significant?
Mm-hmm.
Because Philip began right where the eunuch was reading, it became the very joining point to the eunuch.
Kairos.
Philip was now joined to and connected to the eunuch. Philip was now in the system in which results are brought about.
Amen, God.
Now let's take a look at this system. Verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? First off, we might ask, how did this eunuch even know about baptism?
Come on.
Well, Philip, being a fragment gatherer,
preach Jesus.
He began at Isaiah,
yep.
But he sure enough didn't end there.
Mm-hmm.
He preached Jesus, and the rhemas of baptism ended up flowing.
How to get joined.
It was the Lord's design that Philip be joined to this eunuch for the result of baptism to manifest. Because of the joining, the eunuch now desired to gather this baptism in which he heard of. The system in which results are brought about was now operating. Verse 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing to preach in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Philip was so elevated in peace that he was literally raised and hoisted from the desert in Gaza to Azotus. He was translated to an entirely different city 20 miles away. Philip, being elevated in peace, was elevated beyond what the system of this world says. He literally time traveled. This account proves Philip lived in the means of the Lord. His eating daily bread fragments brought him into these means. He was in a place to hear, and as a result, positioned to spring into action in what he heard. He was then transitioned into the method, to then be transitioned into the system in which results are brought about. These means would then trump all that the world would say concerning time. Philip elevated. And that is my case study for you on tonight.
Jesus. Wow. That's real good.
Awesome.
That really brings such a supernatural understanding into this, of living in elevated peace. And I don't want anybody to miss this. I haven't heard this study, although Ellen, Alice and I always are in fellowship and we were always in the rhema. I haven't heard this one yet. And what I heard the Lord say, Elder, is what Philip tapped into was the means where Jesus is omnipresent.
Mm-hmm.
He tapped into his omnipresence.
Yes.
And he translated 20 miles. See, the Lord is everywhere at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And if you tap into his omnipresence and you end up in one city, and I always say, not jokingly, I always say, I'll be preaching in one city, but I'll end up in another.
Yep.
And I've been saying this since the beginning of the ministry.
Oh,
okay. That the Lord will need me somewhere and I will be in one, but I'll end up in another. And that is a part of his means.
Yes, it is.
And that is some real deep supernatural stuff that becomes available.
Mm-hmm.
I love the timing of this account. The timing when Philip said, the Lord said, go join yourself. The timing of what was the Ethiopian was reading. I love the timing of everything. Yes. And Philip was so tapped in and so elevated that he did not mess up the Lord's timing in all of this.
No.
Because he was so elevated.
Yes, God.
Everything was on Kairos time.
Amen.
Phenomenal. I mean, absolutely phenomenal. That is that is elevated peace. I mean, just really, really to it. You can't deny it. You can't deny it.
That's God.
You can't deny what it's capable of doing. Truly awesome, Elder Allison. I mean, really, 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 really good.
Amen.
Really good. Really, so much in that. There's so many fragments that I have to write down from all of the studies today. Phenomenal. From Mary. Oh my gosh, Jesus. I don't know, Erica. There was a message God gave us on Mary's peace. Just a powerful message dealing with that a while back.
Yes, it did.
And you just picked up right in that. And then Kurt, Jesus, showing us peace from such a strange angle.
Uh-huh.
But it's so true. And I was, like I said, me and prophetess were talking about the prophet Balaam. That boy was bad. He was a shyster, but that boy was bad.
Mm-hmm.
He was bad. He didn't have it all together either, but he knew God, and God understood who Balaam was. They had a relationship out of this world. And then Elder, this thing on Philip here, boy.
Oh, no.
Jesus, Lord,
yes,
God.
Yes, sir.
Transported. God.
Come on, man. Come on. I heard one man in the body of Christ talk about being transported, and that was Kenneth Copeland. He was out preaching a meeting, and while he was preaching, the pastor's daughter was very sick. And they lived on top of a mountain. And he had finished preaching a message on faith. And the wife came out, and she's at the top of the mountain. They had a long stairwell going up to the top. Mm-hmm. And she came out and she said, she died. She died during the service. And she was a Sunday school teacher. The daughter was. She died. She went home. Mm-hmm. Kenneth said he stepped on the bottom stair and was transported on the top stair.
Wow.
Without taking another step.
Amen. And the Lord
said, he said, lay your hands on her.
Elevated.
And I'll bring her back. And sure enough, the way that the testimony's told, he laid his hands on her. And to this day, she's still teaching Sunday school in the church.
Wow.
And that is a place of elevation where we dwell, and we crazy people, because we nullify all these wonderful things.
Yes, so true.
Because we won't stay eating these fragments. You keep eating these fragments, you'll be nourished up in the supernatural. this will nourish us in the supernatural power of God.
Amen. That's the truth.
We could honestly say, yeah. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me.
Nothing's impossible.
Nothing becomes impossible. Excellent study, Elder Allison. Don't know what to say. All of you guys really brought the noise tonight. Awesome. Amen. Anybody else want to comment before I wrap this up? It was so good.
Beautiful.
Man, that was good. Anyone else? I know you guys got your jaws dropped. I know you want to say something. I mean, if it just bless you, just take your mute off and just say, my goodness. Give us what you got. Tell me one of your oohs and ahs. Somebody take the next minute or so or 30 seconds and just comment if there's anything that you'd like to add to it or say about it.
Amen.
I mean, like with Elder Allison's teaching, she talked about being transported. I mean, that defies the bonds of time,
space, gravity,
quantum physics.
Yeah, all of that.
All of it.
All of it. Jay, I never knew it was a distance of 20 miles. 20 miles?
That's like going to Miami.
Come on, man. He opened his mouth over there in the desert, and then he's now, when he's finishing his next sentence, he's now preaching to a whole nother city 20 miles away.
Wow.
Instantaneous.
Come on, man. We got to see this. We're the last generation, guys. We've got to tap into this, get into this position, stay elevated by eating these fragments.
Yes.
Staying in this rhema word and let God just be God. I read a scripture and I went back over something about when Peter and John talked to the lame man at the gate, and Peter said, why are you looking at us as though by our own power, watch this now, or holiness, we've made this man to walk? When I read by our own holiness, I realized even in elevated peace, everything that happens is still happening by Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You don't have to measure your holiness. Just be in the elevation of peace. You don't have to measure. Stay propitiated and watch the holiness of the Lord perform miracles, signs and wonders. It has nothing still to do with you. You're elevated because you're just so, when you're captivated by the word and propitiated by the word, you're elevated, but it will still be his holiness and his power working within us. We don't have to perform anything. We just have to stay elevated. That's it.
Amen.
Amen.
You want to say something? Go ahead, Evangelist.
I just want to say that these messages really encouraged and as well as excited me. Somehow or another, I actually have a visual. And I see the guy in the Matrix. Once he realized that you are the one. And he started moving from just that. He had been hearing it. But when he finally accepted and started seeing it, he started moving in it.
Amen.
And it was like he was unstoppable. Mm-hmm. So again, these studies, this, I mean, you guys are top dogs doing the studies. And I just want to say that. And but really, they have really given me a visual, just so exciting, just knowing that this is where we're supposed to be.
Amen.
You know, amen. And it's like I'm really excited. Again, I'm in awe. I mean, really, I am. And I thank you guys for consistently, you know, coming and bringing it and bringing clarity. The studies, you guys make it so plain and so clear. And I want to thank you guys.
Amen. Amen. I concur with that, Evangelist. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I love it. I love the sound in this, our ministry. I love it. And I love what God consistently brings. Each joint supplies in this house. And man, I thank God for the level of hearing that's in this place. I agree. I concur, because it does. It really does excite and opens up our understanding of where we ought to be. Excellent job from all you guys that presented between last night and tonight. I'm very, very proud, as always. Proud. You guys go deep, man. I love it. 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 My goodness. Boy, oh boy, it was good. Amen. Anyone out? Before we listen, you don't have to be ashamed, or you don't have to be afraid if there's something that you want to say. You are able to say it, because that's what these studies are about. They're about just giving us our freedom and giving us the liberty to speak on how we're feeling, what happened. It was just tremendous, tremendous, guys.
Apostle, this is Giovanna. I just wanted to, just something that was pointed out to me is what I see from Elder Allison's study is the growth of Philip from the beginning of, you know, from John 14, when Christ is asking him, you know, he was saying, show me the Father. And Christ said, if you see me, you've seen the Father.
Oh, man.
So from John 14:7, he said, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. So it's like, look at the growth from where he started.
Wow.
Going from that to time travel.
Oh, wow.
Wow. That's a mouthful right there. That is,
that is amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Truly. Yes. Truly, truly, truly.
And I just want to add to that the fact that this is where and what's going on in us. This exactly what Sister Javon just said. Mm-hmm. That's what God is doing in us as we continue in what he's saying.
Yes.
That same growth that was in Philip, in John, in Peter, in each disciple, is the same thing. It hasn't changed. He hasn't changed anything. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing he's doing in us, as long as we stay in what he's doing and don't try to act like Jonah.
That's so good.
Even in Jonah, as much as Jonah tried to kick against the pricks, like he told Paul, you can't. It's impossible. God's going to achieve what he's going to achieve in you.
He sure is.
So just a flow in it. And it won't be as difficult. It won't be as hard if we just flow in it and don't try to fight what he's doing.
Amen. You know? Amen. There is absolute growth. I mean, it is exponential growth that takes place. And to see from one moment questioning this, and then from the next moment in position,
yes.
Supernaturally transported, that is phenomenal.
Yes, it is.
And I just pray everybody smokes this tonight, gets real high on it, imbibes it, takes it to the head, and realize that these things are not a thing of the past.
They are
things of the spirit that are still available.
Sure.
They're still attainable, achievable, and we will. I'm reminded of the prayers. That which is working on the inside will be proven on the outside. And these things, man, that are coming so powerfully on the inside are about to show up on our outside. Amen. Amen. I say amen to all of it. Wonderful, guys. Truly wonderful.
Beautiful.
Truly, truly wonderful. Good job. Good job. Amen. If anyone was going to sow a seed or give tonight, you know the instructions. They're always the same.